Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Vital Point Church. My name is Ron. I'm the pastor here at Vital Point. We believe that it's important for people to explore and grow in their faith. And my hope, my prayer is that this message that you're listening to will draw you closer to better understanding how you can live out your faith journey in the everyday life. Sit back and enjoy.
Today we bring the Vitality series to a conclusion with a conversation that I believe the enemy of your life and your faith doesn't want you to hear. And I'm not trying to be overdramatic about this, but I truly believe that apart from the message of Jesus and his love for you and what he did for you on the cross, that this is a message that the evil one doesn't want you to hear, doesn't want you to understand, and for sure doesn't want you to be obedient. The reason I believe this is true is because today we're wrapping up our vitality value number 3, and we're going to be talking about our rugged faith through generosity. Now, let me be clear on this. Today, we're going to talk about money. And I believe that apart from Jesus, this is one of the key conversations that we need to have as a church. And so if you are part of Vital Point Church, this is for you. If you are observing and watching, maybe you're in here for the first time and church is new to you, this is a conversation that you can listen into. One of the things that I've realized in preparation for today's conversation is this, is that oftentimes we have a misunderstanding of the connection between money and faith. Matter of fact, the depth of our faith is often determined by how we view and what we do with our gifts, with our money and our giving. Money, when we discover it today, is literally going to be a test of God for many of us. Now, before I go any farther into the conversation, I need you to know that the material that I am using today, the vast majority of it, with some of my own material in here, comes from a pastor by the name of Robert Morris. He wrote this book called The Blessed Life, and he gives very interesting perspective and teaching on money in the Bible and what God says about giving and generosity. And so today, we're going to talk about that. Now, interesting description between understanding giving and generosity is Robert Morris, in his book, gives the difference between a blessed life and a cursed life. See, that's really what we're going to end up talking about today as we begin to realize how generosity unlocks the blessings of God in our lives. When we begin to understand this more fully, it unlocks not only a blessing in your life, but also helps God's church become more vibrant and more impactful in this world in which we live. There is a direct connection between all of this. Now, one of the things that I loved about the description of the blessed life that Robert Morris talks about in his book is this. A blessed life is one where the supernatural power of God works out in our lives. The blessed life is the supernatural power of God working. So that means that the power of God permeates our marriages, our relationships, our families, our work life, our health, our emotions, our mental state, our anxiety, our worry, that we have the potential through our generosity to unlock that kind of blessing. He also described it like this, that the blessed life is one that has divine coincidence with heavenly meaning. I love that description, that when we unlock this, we begin to understand the truth of the power of these coincidences that have impact from God. Now, the opposite is true, which he talks about a cursed life. This is the supernatural working against you. So when you think about your life, and there's times where you feel like you're butting up against something, that there's something in your way, it's very possible that you are restricting. We're going to discover this in our conversation, that we are restricting, and he just finds it as the curse of God on our lives, and that's the restricting of the supernatural work. Now, this is an important conversation on so many different levels, especially in the time that we find ourselves in. We find ourselves in a time when we are longing for a vibrant, strong, healthy life, a blessed life. We want to move forward. Even in the midst of all the things that are going on around us, we long and desire to move forward. But oftentimes we don't see how our faith is connected to our giving, and giving is connected to unlocking the blessings of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about, and that takes a rugged faith in our lives. You may not know this, but the Bible talks about money and possessions over 2,000 times. To put it in perspective, it talks about prayer about 500 times. So God has a lot to say about this, and I believe that there's a truth in here for many of us, no matter where we find ourselves in our understanding of the Bible and God. Now, let me jump into this conversation by talking about the first idea of this is the principle of the first. Okay, so we're going to look at this from an Old Testament perspective and understanding some elements of what Jesus has done in this as well. So the principle of the first. I want to read for you from Exodus chapter 13, two verses, verses 1 and verses 2. This is the principle of the first to help us get our mindset right on this. It says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belongs to me.' This is the principle of the firstborn." Now, there's a connection in this that's a fairly deep connection that we must understand from God's people that were delivered from Egypt. And there's a firstborn element of this where the firstborn in Egypt were that had died. And one of the things that God is doing in this is he's redeeming the firstborn and saying, "I own the firstborn to a family, the firstborn to livestock." In this, we must understand also the firstborn is to be set aside, is to be dedicated, consecrated for the things of God. Now, let me look at it from a perspective of livestock. Livestock were actually to be sacrificed. So the first lamb born to, say, a sheep was to be sacrificed, was to be an act of worship back to God. In that, we begin to realize also that the thing that is sacrificed is clean. If there is something that is unclean, then it can be made clean through the sacrifice of a clean lamb, for example. Now, this gets all super complicated because we don't really truly understand the power of this in the context in which it is in because we don't do this anymore. And the reason why we don't is because of Jesus. We don't see this principle of the firstborn in essence in our lives because Jesus became our firstborn, the Lamb of God in our sake. Last week, we talked about this from John the Baptist, where John the Baptist said, "Look, there's a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God sent his first son, the Son, to us in a time which we were unclean to make us clean. So in Exodus chapter 13, we begin to realize there's two things that happen in here. The firstborn from livestock was to be sacrificed, was to be set aside, and to, as an act of worship towards God, it was giving back to God something that was already his. If it was unclean, it could be made clean through the sacrifice. Now, when you think about doing this, it takes faith to do this. Think about someone in the context in which we read here in Exodus chapter 13. It was a faith that the family had to demonstrate to give back, say, that firstborn lamb of that sheep. Why? Because there was no guarantee of another lamb coming. That took faith. Faith is a willingness to step forward, to trust God, to give back to God the principle of the first. He already owns it, so therefore I bring it back to him. It takes faith. He didn't say, "Wait until you have 10 little lambs and then give me one." He says, "No, dedicate the one and let me take care of the rest." This is the principle of the firstborn. Now, we must also understand there's another principle that emerges from this understanding of the principle of the first is the principle of the first fruit. Let me read it for you in Exodus chapter 23, verse 19, the first part of verse 19. I want to read it for you. It says this, As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. That's the first part of verse 19. What we see here is the principle of the first demonstrated through the harvest of the very best of the first fruit. Interesting. It's an agricultural thing, but it's pointing us to understanding that we are to offer it back. We are to bring the very best. Again, we're seeing it again. It's not giving, although there's an aspect of giving. It is bringing back to God what is already his. When you go out and you harvest the fruit, you harvest the grain or whatever it is, you're taking that first and bring it. Let me illustrate it this way for you. I think this is a way that will hopefully help you understand this, because I've been convicted about something in writing this message for us today in the principle of the first. I, every once in a while, will do a wedding or maybe do a funeral. And one of the things that goes along with that is not just the privilege of being in that moment with these people, but there's an honorarium that often is given to the minister. So it's $250, $300, or maybe more sometimes. So what happens for me is this. I know that that honorarium's coming. I oftentimes will have it already designated to something. I'm maybe saving it for a new road bike that I want to purchase this winter for next year. Or I might be setting it aside to save for buying some other sporting equipment or whatever. This is kind of what I do. What I realize from the first fruit, the principle of the first fruit, is admittance on this and shame on this for my own self, is that I rarely, if ever, often think about giving back to God the first of that was coming to me. So when you think about it from the principle of the first and the idea of what is emerging from the scriptures on the teaching of the Bible is that we bring back what is called a tenth, which is a 10% of what we get in. So I don't even think about the 10% of the $300, for example. I don't think about that $30. I begin to realize that I've actually not been living out this principle when it comes to that. See, the principle of the first, of the best of the first, is that anything that comes into my home, I am going to give it back to God as a principle of the tenth, which is honoring God. Now, notice what it says here, that what God says in this section of Exodus 23 is that it's to bring it to the house of the Lord your God. That's a piece that so oftentimes people ask me. Do I need to give to the church? Do I need to give to the house of the Lord? Why can't I just give to something else? Let me be clear in this. God's expectation, if you're a follower of Jesus, a believer, is for you to bring the principle of the first, if you want to talk about it as the tithe, the 10%, is to your church. If Vital Point Church is your church, it's to be to this church. If you're part of another church and you're watching this, it is to your church. It is not to your favorite nonprofit organization. It is not to your kids' school. It is not to your favorite mission organization. It is to the house of the Lord. There's an understanding and a principle of this as we unlock the blessings of God in our lives, as we unlock the supernatural power of God in our lives. It's not that those things aren't good and important. I think that's a clarification point that we need to make. That when we think about the first, it always comes to the house of the Lord. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. There's an element of understanding that as I honor God with the principle of the first or the tenth back to his house, that he will pour out in my life, that the grain, the barns will flow with grain, the vats will overflow with good wine. That means that as you have a heart towards other things, you can be generous towards those things as well. It is the pouring out. It is the generosity. When I honor God with the first, he pours out into my life, which the generosity continues to flow. Now, let me be very clear on this. This is not a get-rich-quick strategy. Some of us are right now going, what? I can have God bless me and fill my vats and have my grain overflowing? Like, wow, bring it on. I think we need to understand that what we're talking about is more of a condition of the depth of our faith and the trust that we have in God to bring back to him, but is also a reflection on our heart. Because the truth is that when we live this way, Jesus talks about this, is that we are actually investing in eternity, that we're laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven, that there's an element of understanding that the richness and the blessings that we are experiencing as God pours out into our lives is not what the world offers or what the world understands. We're talking about something way bigger and way more impactful as it relates to the kingdom of God and your life. That as you look at your resources, as you look at your generosity, as you look at your giving, we must understand that there is a piece of this that reflects, do I really put God first? Do I really trust God with my life? See, lots of us would say, oh, I put God first. I trust God with my life. Really? Only way you can really tell in so many ways is as you look at your bank statement, as you look at your giving and your generosity, it will reveal to you whether or not you do truly put God first. Because the principle of the first is so clear for us as we begin to wrestle with this idea of generosity and giving. Now, one of the things that is very interesting about this, when we begin to apply these truths, and if we, as we begin to live in obedience to bringing back to God what is already His, is that He begins to pour more blessings in a different way. And the blessings come into our life by our ability to hear His voice. I want to say that again. What will happen is, as the divine coincidences begin to flow in our lives, we begin to hear His voice more. Let me illustrate it this way. I gave this book by Robert Morris to a young couple in our church, and they gave me permission to share this with you, so I'm not speaking out of turn. I gave this book to them. This is a young couple, been married about a year. They came into our church in the last few years. This young couple already understood the principle of the first and the tithe. They understood the investment of eternity in God's kingdom. And God's pouring a blessing in their life. They read this book, and it radically changed them again. There was another shift. The dial turned a bit more on them. What ended up happening as the blessings were poured into their lives, they had a friend that had a need for a vehicle. This couple had two cars. They both experienced the voice of God telling them that they needed to give their friend one of their cars. They got together and they talked about it, and they realized that God had revealed it to both of them. You know what they did? This is legit. They literally signed over the one vehicle to their friend. Why? Because generosity was flowing through them, through the tithe, through the principle of the first, unlocking the blessing, unlocking the voice of God, and through their relationship with Jesus, one another, and the work of the Spirit, and the blessing poured out supernaturally. What you need to also know is this, is that this young couple right now have an uncertain future as it relates to their jobs. Their contracts are coming up to an end soon. But here's the blessing in their life. They are having a sense of calm and peace in their lives because of the principle of the first. They are trusting God for His provision. It's that principle of the firstborn. I'm going to offer you this lamb, trusting that you will redeem the rest of my life and provide in areas of my life that I need. I talk to this young couple. It is amazing to watch the peace. They teach me so much about the principle of the first. Now, as we begin to kind of look at this, and as we begin to navigate through the principle of the first and the tithe and the giving and unlocking, one of the things that I began to realize, and it's something I want to say to you, and I want to be careful how I say this, and I want you to receive it from a sense of humility and a sense of posture of, I believe that I'm being obedient to what God wants me to say. I wonder if God is waiting to pour more blessing into our lives, but yet we are restricting the blessing because we are robbing Him of what is already His. I want to say that again. I believe that God wants to pour a blessing into your life and into my life, but yet there are times we restrict the flow of the blessings because we're robbing Him. Now you're going like, what? No way. I don't rob God of this. I don't rob Him. Careful. Let me read a section for you from the Bible once again. It's Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It says this, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? He says. You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. See, it's very possible, and what concerns me is that we are at times robbing God from His ability to pour more blessing into our lives, that we're withholding the tithe. We're not bringing it back to him, not giving, we're bringing it back to him, and we're robbing him, and we're robbing ourselves of the blessing, and we're bringing a curse onto ourselves. Now, the curse is not some weird, you know, voodoo thing. I'm just talking about we're restricting the ability of the supernatural power of God to work in your life. We're restricting it. We're restricting his ability to enrich us, to give us a peace of mind, a peace of heart. See, I need that to sink into our lives. See, if you're a follower of Jesus right now, you're a believer, and you're part of Vital Point Church, let me speak to you directly about this. It is possible that you are not living this out in a way that God desires you to live it out. And you have right now a longing and a desire to have more of the presence and the power of God in your life. We all do. I do. You do. But it is possible what is happening is that you are not bringing the principle of the first back to God. Therefore, you're limiting God's ability to speak into your life. You're limiting the ability of the presence and the power of God to be working in your life. You know, so oftentimes we go, why isn't God doing this? Or why isn't God doing that? And I just don't understand. Well, it's possible that we're not unlocking that. See, the blessed life is a life where God's provision is revealed to us, where we see God at work. You know, maybe it's possible that what comes into your home is already spent long before you even think about giving back to God. And you're like, well, I give, but is that just leftovers? What it would look like if we just said, God, you know what? I'm going to give back to you. But some of you are, I know what's happening. Some of you are like already coming up with excuses, right? The excuses are, well, I've got a kid in university. Okay, but do you trust God that he will provide for your kid who's in university? Well, I'm on commission. Okay, what if you trusted God for the next sale? Well, I'm in debt. Okay, what if you started to trust God with giving back to him what is already his and started cutting back on areas and putting that towards your debt? What if you're sitting right now, well, my spouse isn't a follower of Jesus and I don't have an income. Okay, trust God, share that with him and see what he does. See, so oftentimes, and I know this is in part of my life as well, as I was wrestling years ago in the journey of tithing, is that I came up with all kinds of excuses as to why not to do this. Matter of fact, I know that when I talk to people who are tithers, they're very clear on their blessed life because they have a clarity and a freedom and an understanding of their lives because of the generosity and the giving. You talk to someone who says they can't afford to tithe, you see some of the confusion, you see some of the hurt, you begin to realize that they see their life completely different. See, God and the principle of the first and bringing back to him is so that we can find freedom from searching for things in this world to find satisfaction. That's blessing because we see the blessing comes from him. Blessing is the more work than what we could ever imagine. If maybe you're on commissions and you honor God and you see his provision and you stand back in awe and you go, my life is blessed. Maybe you receive blessing for wisdom in dealing with children. You find blessings in a strong, healthy family, in a marriage. You find freedom from the success that this world tells you it's success, but you find freedom in a different way because God blesses you. Or maybe you just hear the blessings of God's voice to give a car away. You know, so long to see people live this way and to learn what it means to be generous through the giving and tithes to what is already God's. I need to wrap this up. I want to read for you two more verses from Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Check this out. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. And then he says this, try it. Put me to the test. I want to ask you a crazy question as we wrap up this conversation today on this vitality value number 3 of generosity and unlocking God's blessing in your life and a rugged, strong faith is this. Will you take the dare from God? Will you take the dare? Will you look at your income for the remainder of 2020 and put God to the test? October, November, December. Will you take these 3 months and put God to the test and say, God, I'm going to by faith trust you. I'm going to by faith, the principle of the first, the tenth, the tithe, I'm going to give back to you. I make $1,000 a month, you're getting $100. Whatever it is. Extra money comes in, you got a sale of a home, you got a sale of a property, whatever it is. You're going to just say, God, I'm going to tithe to your house. And here's what I believe will happen, is that you will begin to realize the power and the presence of the blessing of God in your life, and you will live different. But also what will happen is that God will take a group of people and unlock even more blessing in his church. If Vital Point Church is your church, I'd encourage you strongly to begin to tithe, not to pay bills and salaries, but to unlock the blessing of God in our church, not just so that we can buy children's programming and investing in families, like wait till you see what's happening and moving forward. It's not so just so that we can just pay these and get a budget met. No. It is so that God will do more. Can you imagine what it would be like to be able to start new locations, new microsites, new spots, new watch parties, investing and moving, expanding God's, multiplying God's kingdom in this world through Vital Point Church. Imagine what it would be like as we continue to pray and our leadership team is praying over something right now that's right in front of us that could potentially unlock the multiplication aspect of our church, where God will bless and bring more people into his kingdom and more people impacted by Jesus. See, the churches that get this are the churches where God just continues to pour out his blessing, that they're not just about maintaining and managing budgets and salaries and bills and utility costs. It is about the reality of unlocking what God wants to do in his temple. He says it right here, so that the storehouse will have enough food in my temple. Will today you take the challenge? Will today you be one who steps up and says, I'm going to give you this, God. I'm going to offer this to you. I recognize that for some of us, this is a very tough conversation because we hold on to our money so tightly and God just says, will you just release it to me and allow me to show more of who I am in your life? See, this is a heart condition. This is really about the heart. And as you navigate this and as you pray about this, this is deeply about the heart and the faith and the connection of saying, God, I want to give you my life. You gave your all for me. You gave your only son on a cross for me. You gave your all so that I might have life, so that I might live. And as we give back to you, it is showing you how much we love you and how much we want to honor you and how much we want to see your work done in this world. And when you do, He takes that blessing tap and he just starts to crank it open and the supernatural power of God begins to be released in your life. Well, today you take the dare. Try it. Put me to the test. What would it look like for you to step into this moment as an act of obedience to the truths of being generous with your giving?